The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy.
Whoa.
I don't see any
Whoa.
Reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
who
difference.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 288 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore, Reese. How are you, sir?
Hey, recovering from a week of no sports, football, some wrestling was in the mix too. We had some baseball, some basketball, some NBA finals, but you know, we're here to talk about what we saw on what we saw the past couple of days in the world of pro wrestling.
First and foremost, I'd like to start by giving you your flowers, as you were the winner of the Who You Got for Cast of Champions. You got 6 out of 7 matches correct, so congratulations to you, sir.
Yes.
Hard-fought victory. I had 5 correct. Ms. Jade to the Max got 3 correct. So those were the results of Who You
Got. I thought my for sure champ what that one was gonna be a sure lock pick, but goes to show WWE booking.
It's a swerve, bro.
Yeah, it definitely is a swerve. We ain't talking about Isaiah and Scott either.
So thank you to everybody who came out, shared their commentary with color on Class of Champions by using the hashtag Cast of Champions. It was a spirited one. We saw some, you know, faces that we haven't seen in a while who've been kind of taking a hiatus.
Don Vincent, Don Vincent came back.
Yeah, during the pandemic, Roman and Jey Uso brought a lot of people back out of the woodwork to the hashtag. So we definitely appreciate seeing some old faces showing up in the hashtag and supporting. So definitely hope to see them at Hell in the Cell as well, and NXT TakeOver on Sunday. Hashtag Cast TakeOver if you guys want to share your commentary with color this Sunday. Tune in to the NXT Cast as me and Miss Simi will be breaking down that card, and you'll get our picks for who you think is going to be successful at the next TakeOver this Sunday. But first and foremost, when it comes to Clash of Champions, it was reported that Nikki Cross, Shayna Baszler, and Nia Jax weren't medically cleared to compete on the card. So the card, as always, is subject to change. We can talk about this a little bit more in depth. Apparently, somebody then came in contact with somebody from NXT, and they then gave people the virus.
Yep. That's what the word was. It was like, it was good. Nikki Cross wasn't even on SmackDown the Friday the go home show for SmackDown, and it was like no mention of it. And then I'm reading just to see what's going on, and it said the match might not even happen because she came in contact, you know. Like came in contact with someone.
Well, apparently, you know, she's married to Killian Dane, so he probably came into contact with somebody. Drake Maverick. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Who tested positive. And so, you know, through the whole big contact tracing and everything, you know, they basically got to go back through your history. And so anybody that you've gotten close to is basically going to be shut down for a week or 4 days to see, you know, what happens to him. So, yeah.
So basically they also said that they kind of waved off the whole NXT roster coming to main show, coming to like Raw and SmackDown tapings because of what the outbreak that just happened. So we probably won't be seeing Raw Underground no more with this decision going forward.
Yeah, maybe it'll be on hiatus, but I don't know if it's going to be totally totally shut down, but it's definitely gonna be on hiatus.
It might take a couple weeks off or something like that.
Yeah. You know. So dang, just when we got introduced to Brianna Brandy, they snatch her away from us.
That's how they do. They give up and take it away.
But yeah, so you know, another round of you know, outbreak in WWE, so they're gonna have to deal with that as best they can. So good luck to everybody who has been affected, and hopefully, you know, nobody is infected. And if there is somebody, that is not a serious case, and they'll be able to recover and be back on television in a quick turnaround, and it won't be too devastating to the product as a whole. Because I mean, you know, we do have a takeover on Sunday, and if, you know, it's running through NXT the way it apparently is, it could put that show in a whole bunch of jeopardy.
Indeed.
So we'll start off the card with the kickoff show. Kickoff match saw Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura defending their SmackDown tag team titles against the Lucha House Party. This time it was Kalisto and Lindsay Dorado representing for the Lucha House Party. Cesaro countered the Salida del Sol as he tagged in Nakamura, and then he ran over Kalisto with an uppercut. Then they did the tandem Cesaro swing into the Kinshasa, and Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura retain the SmackDown tag team titles.
It's a lot of action in this match. I was thinking, well, I was wondering how was it going to be all, was it going to be a cohesive unit between them, and seeing if somebody was going to try to be the, who's going to be calling himself the leader and not trying to listen, you know, trying to, you know, work together as a team, trying to win this match. But, you know, we saw the Bar 2.0 do what they had to do to retain.
Yeah, this was a fun match. I mean, you know, like I said, Kalisto and Cesaro were going to do magic in that ring together, and they usually do. And this was no different. I mean, there's a big, you know, swinging tornado DDT that Cesaro took. Just a lot of good back and forth between the luchadors and Cesaro. So, you know, nothing wrong with the match. Expected the outcome, and, you know, we're off and running. So now we come into the main show proper, and we start with Jeff Hardy, Sami Zayn, and AJ Styles triple threat ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. You know, the usual Jeff Hardy, too old to be taking these bumps, but he's still out there doing it. Situations.
They showed when he took the swanton off the ladder. And one of my friends texted me and said he got a death wish, and I was like, he certainly do.
Sammy used handcuffs on Jeff Hardy's gaze in his earlobe to handcuff him to a ladder. Sammy then also handcuffed himself to AJ Styles to prevent AJ from climbing up the ladder, because he would have had to take Sami Zayn with him as well. When AJ did try to climb the ladder, Jeff climbed in with the ladder still attached to him. While AJ battled Jeff, Sammy had the key in his mouth. He uncuffed himself, then he cuffed AJ to the ladder, and he climbed up the ladder, and he pulled down both titles. And officially, Sami Zayn is your Intercontinental Champion.
I'm telling you, he definitely played the game to win. You know, that's how you have to do it. You have to play to win. And Sammy was basically like, you know what, y'all took this away from me once before, and y'all not gonna do it again. So
you play to win, but you cheat to get ahead, and that's what Sammy did.
Hey. Live, cheat, and steal. That's what Eddie said to do.
So, yeah, this was one of the most creative finishes to a ladder match I've ever seen. Kudos to those guys for, you know, not doing the usual type of, you know, ladder match. They had a lot of, you know, cool spots that, you know, are a little bit different than your traditional stuff that you normally get. So I commend them greatly on the twist that they put onto this match. Very entertaining, and it made for, you know, a quick start and a hard match for everybody else on the card to follow, to be honest with you.
Yep.
They tore it down. Backstage, we see Gujulak win the 24/7 title from our boy R-Truth. Then we go into Asuka versus Zelina Vega, WWE Raw Women's Championship match. Zelina Vega was able to take control. She hit a sweet, sweet bridging suplex and some cool pinning combinations. But Asuka kicked out of what was like a European clutch. If you're familiar with Zack Sabre Jr., you know what I'm talking about. As Asuka kicked out of that European clutch, she went right into the Asuka lock. And Zelina Vega tapped immediately. And Asuka retains the Raw Women's Championship. Did you like Zelina's effort here?
I did. I liked it. I just knew that, you know, it's like when Asuka gets you, bring one away. As soon as she grabbed her, the hand was tapping quickly.
Vega had a little bit of a strategy and a game plan here. She was attacking Asuka's left arm, trying to, you know, take away some of that strength for the Asuka lock, the gripping ability, but it did not prevail for her, as Asuka was able to retain. After the match, Asuka offered Zelina a handshake. Zelina, she wanted to bow instead. When Asuka bowed to Zelina to acknowledge her, Zelina kicked her in the gut, and you know, that pissed Asuka off, and so Zelina scurried to the back very quickly.
Of course.
Next up, we have Bobby Lashley versus Apollo Crews for the United States Championship. After a failed frog splash, Apollo fell victim to the Hurt Lock, and Bobby Lashley retained the United States title.
You think the Hurt Business will give up that title? I mean, did Bobby was get up that title so quickly?
Nah, man. MVP spent his hard-earned money on that title. They're going to be holding that for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Where do you see Apollo Crews going from here? I mean, this is pretty much going to be the last probably chance that he gets at United States Championship, as long as Bobby Lashley has it. This is the third match that they've had. Bobby Lashley successful in two of them. So, what's next for Apollo? We got the draft coming. You think SmackDown is in his future?
Yeah, maybe. Never know. I guess with the Hurt Business, they need some. Well, they do have another development storyline, but I guess getting from out this whole storyline with Apollo and Ricochet might be the first on the agenda. So might see a couple more matches with that group, with those two, you know, parties going against each other. But could be the draft that takes them away.
Are you interested in the draft this year as much as you were last year? I think a lot of people were very interested in that last year. I don't know if that same fervor is up.
I'm interested because I'm definitely trying to see what's going to happen next on the shows. So definitely I do have an interest in it.
All right. The Street Profits defended their Raw tag team titles against the team of Angel Garza and Andrade. Angel Garza hits Montez Ford with like a knee strike, and he is hurt. He manages to make the tag over to Andrade. Dawkins also got the hot tag. He immediately hit Andrade with the spine buster. He pins Andrade. We get the 1, 2, 3. Andrade kicks out at 2. The commentary tries to cover for it, but due to injury, the referee had to go ahead and end the match. because when Garza goes down before he gets out of the ring, him and the referee are communicating, and they have about a 2-sentence exchange between each other. And next thing you know, right before the camera cuts off of him, is you see the referee throw up that X.
Up the X.
And then you see Garza roll out of the ring, and then you see, you know, the support staff come and rush to the ring and check on him. They showed him for like a brief second down there. It looked like his knee, maybe his quad, but something with his leg. And,
or his hip.
Yeah, maybe his hip. But, yeah, so he was incapacitated, and they went ahead and just called the match from there. They just don't communicate that very well, I guess, on the fly.
Right.
Because Andrade and Dawkins were like, what the fuck is going on? Right at the point where the match was kind of just starting to turn around and start get going good. So, yeah, they were clearly frustrated. Dawkins.
Yeah, I think Dawkins, when they called for the bell, he had that confused look on his face, like, what? But the thing was, Street Profits was going to retain and, you know, was still scheduled, well, still story to retain anyway. So, you know, but it was just that the whole injury just kind of threw the audible in.
Yeah, man, it's pretty, because, you know, it's not like back in the day where guys are, you know, just kind of like, hey, well, you know, who's going to win, but everything else, we're going to kind of just go out here and feel it. They don't do that anymore. So 95% of these guys, they have a A, B, C, D, E, F, G type of situation. And when you at like C and all of a sudden you got to go all the way to Z, you know, these dudes don't really react as well like they would back in the day. So, yeah, you could definitely tell Dawkins was highly frustrated. R-Truth, he wins back the 24/7 title after Gulak was dedicating the win to Akira Tozawa, who they claimed was eaten by a shark last week on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Bayley comes out, she cuts a promo about how dominant of a champion she's been. She says since she's a role model, she's going to issue an open challenge to anyone. She almost immediately closes the open challenge and wanted the referee to raise her arm for a forfeit victory. And then suddenly, Asuka's music plays, and we have a match. Bayley versus Asuka for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Asuka basically kicked Bayley's ass all over the ring. It got too hot for Bayley in the kitchen, so she rolled out of the ring, grabbed a steel chair. She uses the steel chair, and of course, that is an instant disqualification. So, the winner is Bayley. Or excuse me, the winner is Asuka, but Bayley retains the SmackDown Women's Championship. For the record, this was the one that Mo to the underscore Reese got wrong.
And it shouldn't have counted, but...
Huh, what?
It shouldn't have counted.
It wasn't one half of the participant, wasn't the person... Now, if it would have been the person you picked not in the match, I probably would have considered that. But since the person you picked was in the match, nah, bruh. That's gonna
count. Oh, okay.
That's all good. Right. Because guess what? We all got it wrong.
We sure did.
Bayley celebration was cut short by a chair shot from Sasha Banks. She's still rocking the neck brace. She was taking it back to the late 90s Aaliyah vibe with a little thong showing through the sweatpants. Sparkly one, too. It's like, all right, Sasha.
Yay.
She fired off some chair shots, but Bayley turned it around. Sasha kicked her leg out from under her leg. Shout out to Sam. And then wailed on Bayley with a kendo stick. And then Bayley finally escapes.
Yeah, Bayley was looking like she saw a ghost.
Yeah, she was definitely headed to higher ground, man. So I guess that means that no, Sasha's not going to be out until Survivor Series, and that, you know, they might be seeing each other Hell in a Cell action here.
Yep. That's the next pay-per-view tour.
What do you think about, Sasha has had, she had the first ever Women's Hell in a Cell match with Charlotte. So what do you think about her maybe possibly doing it again, but this time against Bayley? Are you intrigued to see it in a cage as the very first encounter?
Yes, because given their history, we know they can tear it down each other in the ring. So we definitely, I would definitely have my popcorn ready to see that match. See that match go down in Hell in a Cell.
We have Drew McIntyre defending the WWE Championship against Randy Orton in an ambulance match. Right when Randy Orton looked like he was about to get the upper hand early in the match, the Big Show appeared out of nowhere, grabbing Orton by the leg. He dragged him out of the ring underneath the bottom rope, and then he chokeslammed Randy Orton through the announce table. He more like threw Randy Orton through the announce table, because when he went to pick him up and chokeslam him, Randy Orton actually slipped out of his hand, and he had to kind of double clutch him and get him by the chest and force him into the table. So I can only imagine what Randy Orton was thinking at that very moment when he slips out of Big Show's hands.
God damn it.
Drew missed the Claymore kick while he had Randy by the ambulance door, and he instead broke off the door of the ambulance. They fight backstage. They get to a catering area, and Christian shows up to get some revenge on Randy Orton. So, you know, they fight through the backstage or whatever, and they come back through the curtain. Then they, of course, start fighting on top of the ambulance. Randy Orton was in total control until Shawn Michaels showed up, hit him with Sweet Chin Music, knocking Randy off the roof of the ambulance. Orton was able to recover even after that. He hit an RKO to nearly win, but Drew escaped the ambulance. Drew then hit the Claymore kick, and instead of closing the door and ending this chapter with Randy Orton, he opened the door back up, leaning Randy outside of the back of the ambulance, and he hit a punt for good measure, and then he shut Randy into the ambulance to retain the WWE Championship.
Yeah, that's what happened.
I thought this was a very fun match. It was very entertaining. I'm not really the biggest fan of Randy Orton brawl all through the arena matches, because it can get a little boring. But this one, but this one with the cameos and everybody coming in and getting their revenge added a lot of spice to this and kept it entertaining. So good job by everybody involved here.
Don't forget who promised to get a DUI.
Ric Flair. So, of course, like once Drew puts him into the ambulance, you know, they hit the back of the door of the ambulance for the ambulance to take off and leave the arena. And it's revealed that none other than the Nature Boy himself is driving the ambulance. And before, as he pulls off, he says he promises not to break the speed limit. So I guess they're trying to get a little bit of that Sue from AEW love by having Rick be the, you know, final person you see in this whole scene. So good stuff. Good stuff. I enjoyed all the cameos. Definitely Christian, HBK, Big Show coming back made everybody, you know, clamor for Edge. So that's still another way for them to kind of draw interest into that match, even though Edge never set foot near the match. You know, they still got that on the back burner that everybody's going to be interested in when Edge does decide to come back and he's healthy enough. Now it's time for the main event of the evening, the one that brought everybody out to the yard, Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso for the Universal title. Roman started in on offense, dominated, and then he got irritated that his cousin kept kicking out. Jey got a couple of good near falls on a roll-up and then the big Uso splash, but Reigns kicked out of the splash by low-blowing Jey at the same time. Reigns then hit the spear and demanded that Jey call him the tribal chief. When Jey declined, Roman hit him with another spear. Jey refused to call him the tribal chief again, so Roman just starts raining down elbows and punches and strikes. He's like, you know, doing some straight MMA stuff. Even when the referee tried to stop the match, Roman said, "Look here, Charles Robinson, I've been doing this my whole life. Don't you stop me when I'm in here doing my business." So the beatings continue, and that's when Jimmy Uso comes out. He tells Jey he's going to throw in the towel. Jey is like, "Man, don't do that shit, man. Don't do it." So Jimmy lets it go on for a little while longer, but Roman is still demanding to be called the tribal chief. He's still laying in the beating, and Jimmy has no choice but to throw in the towel, and Roman Reigns retains the Universal title. And I think a lot of people were very, very satisfied with what they saw and what they got out of this match.
Okay. So, listeners, we listen to the push. You're going to hear a breakdown of why Shaolin Shogun, why he had his gripes with this match.
Before we even I'm going to ask you a question. Don't get in depth into what his main gripes were or are, so people will have something to listen to. Here's my question. My question to you is, do you agree with his point of view?
So, okay, so when I listened to it, I said I understand where he was coming from. I said for me watching, you know, it was the whole story aspect. You know, a lot of people feel as though that Roman, this heel turn came, you know, a couple years too late. Yeah, think about it. They got called up in 2015, I believe. So you had, and they came up as heels, but he was always, you know, in the face role when he went solo and everything. So basically, it was like you want this heel turn, but I honestly think that Vince didn't want him to become so popular that he runs off to Hollywood like The Rock did and everything. So they probably was trying to do the whole let him build him up as the babyface sort of deal, but it wasn't really working out. You know, he had his fans and everything, you know, but now it's basically. But I see where he was coming from. But like I said, I agree to disagree with him on that aspect about the match. I enjoyed the whole story aspect of it, how it built him up, how Roman wants to be looked at as the head of the family now. Like he's the man, so to speak. You know, you had The Rock, you know, and everything. He was that. It wasn't really the focus of the storyline, but he was, you know, came out that family as just being known as who he was. So Roman basically now was like, you know, what I'm doing is I'm supporting the family, you know, moving forward. And he wanted his cousins to acknowledge that. It's kind of like, you know, you fighting your cousins in the backyard. You know, y'all growing up and y'all fighting and you ready to, and you just like, you know, you say that you the man, you know, say that I'm the man, you know, and you want them to acknowledge that. But, you know, Jay wasn't going to acknowledge it. And that's one thing you have to look at. He said he wasn't giving up. He told his brother not to throw it in. Heyman tried to step in. He was like, what Roman saying? He says, I don't want you to say it. I need him to say it. He needed his cousin to say that he's the tribal chief to verify his badassness. That's what, how I was looking at it and what had it drew me in to this match. So
it's basically like if you've got an older cousin that you can't beat him at anything. You can't beat him in video games, you can't beat him in basketball. So eventually you're gonna wrestle him. And right, once he overpowers you, he's gonna get you down, and just because he can and he's knows he's gonna dominate, he's gonna make you, you know, say I'm the man, say uncle, say you a bitch, you know, you're gonna, you know, just enforce it that regardless of how close you get or what you think about yourself, I am more dominant than you.
Right. And here's the thing, and you know, everybody, it was like basically you have to build up your opponent to make it seem like that you can be a legit challenger for this match. You're not going to get booked for a match and you go in there and get beat down And then it's like, what was the purpose of this? You know, building that person up.
Yeah, because we could have watched that on Raw.
Right, or SmackDown or something. You know, we could have watched, had this match then. You know, there's no point in saying, you know, it's like, I understand, you know, everybody saying, well, you know, he had no chance of winning. I'm like, look, I brought up a point about Santino in the Elimination Chamber back in 2012 with Daniel Bryan. And the way that turned out, you know, Santino kept, you know, it was like, it was believed, we were watching, it was like, wait a minute, he could actually win this Elimination Chamber match. You know, but Daniel Bryan pulled out the LaBelle lock and got him to submit. So it's like, you have to build up your opponent. You have to let them, they get that win. I mean, they get that run up. And you saw how he had to take him down. He had to, Roman had to low blow him. So that's it right there. You know, he had to resort to the heel tactics in order to get the upper hand. And he didn't get the pin. And it's like, he was telling him, he was like, I told you, take this payday, and this is the ass whooping that's coming with it. I love that line. He said, here's the payday, and here's the ass whooping that comes with it. So, okay, so basically, the match itself, I enjoyed it. You know, it was the whole story, just the whole story aspect of it that kind of that drew me in, and now I want to see where it goes. You know, we want to, on SmackDown, we want to see why, Jimmy doing the towel and everything. So, you know, see, probably it's going to be a one and done. And I don't think it's going to be one and done. It's going to lead to something more as time goes on. You know, Hell in the Cell is going to be the next pay-per-view. So we may get another match between those two.
Challenge him to an Usos penitentiary match.
Wow.
Just that would be come something. Up with something. Yeah, just come up with some stipulations to a match and call it the Usos Penitentiary match, Hell in the Cell. That way, you know, nobody can come down and throw in the towel and all that stuff. You know, he can have a bunch of, you know, ways that he can frame it to get back into that rematch, but. Yeah, I thought this was highly enjoyable. I thought it, even though you knew what was going to happen, the way they executed it was flawless. You had Roman out here basically being Daniel Stern from the Wonder Years narrating the whole time that he's beating up Jey Uso. You got Jey Uso out here like, nah, fam. You know what I'm saying? I've been taking these ass whoopings my whole life. You ain't gonna just, you know, beat me that easy. I came here to fight. I came here to make the most of this chance. You know. And he delivered, and he got his he got a chance to fight for the title. He didn't give up, he didn't get pinned, so I mean, you know, there's definitely room for a rematch, or he's got definitely a good claim to get another match.
He does.
So, your thoughts before we move on from Clash of Champions? What would you give it on a 1 through 5 scale? What would you rate the pay per view as a whole?
I'll say 3.5.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was somewhere around a 4, 3.5 to 4. I thought the opening, the ladder match and the main event were super strong, but I really liked the Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre match as well. So that kind of gave it a little extra bump for me. And then, you know, Sasha coming through at the angle was pretty cool, even though, you know, they had to make the most of the Nikki Cross Bayley situation as best they could. So I really enjoy that, you know, continuation to their story as well. So I got a lot of enjoyment out of this. I really enjoyed this pay-per-view. So good deal from WWE. I thought this was better than Payback, and I thought Payback was really good. So
the Payback definitely was better than what we expected it to be.
This is episode 288 of the WrestleCast. Wow, we've been doing this for a while. October's coming up, so we're having another anniversary here soon. So I'm here with Mo to the underscore Reese. I'm your host, Don DeLorente. We just broke down Clash of Champions. Now we're about to move into Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw starts with the Randy Orton hate tour in full effect, because out comes Ric Flair, then Big Show, then Christian, and finally, HBK. HBK, in his finest of duds, welcomes us to the Raw. He introduces our champion, Drew McIntyre. Drew brings up the common thread for most recent times, and he says he put that thread in an ambulance, and he still stands here as your WWE champion. HBK says that one of the reasons why they're out here is to thank Drew for whipping that Randy Orton ass. As they were all off recovering, they got together and showed up last night, and although Drew wasn't aware, they wanted to even the odds, so to speak, and get some revenge. They hope Drew doesn't mind, and if he does mind, HBK says it was all Ric Flair's idea. Randy Orton appears on the Titantron. He says he hopes Drew is enjoying this moment because it will not last. This will not be over until he says it's over. He thinks he went through hell. He has no idea what hell is. Orton says Drew will know what hell is soon. Drew wonders if he will beg for another match. Orton says he doesn't need to beg for anything. He's Randy Orton. He will be given a title match. The only reason he is here today is to remind Drew and everyone else that there is a price to be paid when you cross the Legend Killer. So the camera follows Orton, who grabs his bags and he rolls it right on out of the arena.
Now you know that Randy wasn't going to tap out that easily. I'm just saying, like, he leaves, I'm like, as much as we have watched this man over the past 20 years, he don't just take his ball and go home just like that. He gonna throw it at you a couple of times.
Drew says he's going to put his title on the line tonight. He says he's going to issue an open challenge to anyone who has not faced him previously for the Universal title. Zelina Vega, she's getting a rematch versus Asuka. Zelina says she's just getting started. Everyone will feel sorry for Asuka tonight when she goes in tonight and proves that she is ready. Asuka runs up to tell her that she hopes Zelina is ready to lose to Asuka. So Zelina Vega versus Asuka, Raw Women's Championship match. We get a backstabber from Zelina. Asuka gets the boot on the rope. Zelina stops Asuka's arm with anger. She heads to the top rope. Zelina goes for the moonsault, but Asuka gets the knees up. The Asuka lock, Zelina taps immediately, and Asuka, just because she can, holds on for a little bit longer just for good measure. And
hot sauce on that.
Asuka retains the Raw Women's Championship. Basically, it's like, you put your hands on me twice, unprovoked. Yeah, I'm finna almost rip your shoulder out just so you know what I can do to you. We come back. Andrade is in the ring while Zelina is on her way up the ramp. He yells at her that she is nothing without him. She blamed him for everything, but look at her. Asuka has beaten her twice. She was the weakest link. Andrade says last night, Garza proved that he was a weak link too. That's messed up. He says he's the greatest in the WWE. Who wants to face him? And Keith Lee answers the challenge. So Andrade versus Keith Lee.
Garza sustaining a lower body injury.
Power.
And it's Keith Lee showing off his power early on. A battle of two former NXT champions, Joe. I know that makes you happy.
Oh, yes, it does.
This is a heck of a way to try to write a new chapter in your career if you're Andrade.
Oh.
To have to go one-on-one against the limitless one, Keith Lee.
Here we go. Oh, man. And Keith Lee manhandling Andrade, who believes he's the greatest superstar in all of WWE.
And Andrade, why is he trying to fight out?
Launched by that 340-pounder, but Lee into the top turnbuckle. And this is where Andrade can pick and dissect Keith Lee.
What Andrade lacks in power to Keith Lee, he more than makes up for in accuracy and viciousness.
Shot to the left knee, very wise. Ooh. Keith Lee had a lot of momentum following the Payback pay-per-view last month where he knocked off Randy Orton. But since
Did you see that?
Has been tied up with McIntyre. Oh, Orton, what a cross body. all that mass just crushing Andrade.
It is amazing to me, a man the size of Keith Lee moving the way Keith Lee does.
Oh! Gentleman sitting right next to us, a hybrid athlete, but Joe, Keith Lee's something else. Whoa! Wow. Former United States champion Andrade in a bit of trouble. Now on the move, drop kick to the knee.
Smart strategy by Andrade going low on Keith Lee.
And when you're dealing with tanks, Tom, you take out the wheels.
Oh! Whoa. Oh, man. Yeah, except the tank fights back here in WWE. Now going up to the top turnbuckle. Andrade off the top.
Uh-oh.
Caught by Lee.
That's the last thing Andrade wanted to see.
Effortless power there from Lee, and a chop block to the back of the left knee by Andrade. Oh. And a kick sending Lee face first into the middle turnbuckle.
And rightfully so on Andrade's part. I mean, you need to take away that base of power. You need to ground Keith Lee so he can't do the things he's been doing.
Boom! Oh, double knees. Keith Lee's got to be seeing shadows.
Andrade has Keith Lee right where he wants him.
And now Andrade trying to muscle Keith Lee back up to his feet. Oh, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What in the world?
Caught by Lee. Spirit bomb.
Oh.
Keith Lee obliterates Andrade.
Here is your winner, Keith Lee.
Bask in his glory.
A lot of open challenges going around lately.
Yeah, he was doing that.
Bailey, Andrade, Drew. Just open challenge season.
Andrade controlled this match. Controlled this match throughout the evening, and Keith Lee just said,
Where do you see things going for Keith Lee from here? He's kind of, you know, he got thrust into a little bit of the main event scene there with Orton and Drew. But here in the past couple of weeks, he's kind of taken a much lesser role. What do you see next for our man Keith Lee?
Wow.
Or put it this way, what would you like to see next for Keith Lee?
Jeez, like I said, I want him to be an established rivalry. You know, they just threw him into this Orton McIntyre storyline. So it was like he needs something to do for himself. You know, he needs to build himself up going forward. So I just hope that he can just do it. Like he can just get into that a good rivalry and build a stock. And then when the time comes to him to challenge for a title, go for it. Successful.
Earlier in the day, MVP and Shelton, they're eating some food in the back. Some random white dude comes in and sits down with them. Bobby Lashley tells the dude that he is sitting in his seat. The dude scoots over, but really doesn't leave or move. Lashley makes him move, keeps his food. The dude leaves in fear, and Lashley shares his plate of food with the friends. The extra plate of food.
So here's my question. How is the food and catering? That's all I want to know. I want to know what they really serve back there in catering.
They had like some Thanksgiving food. They had like mashed potatoes. They had like sweet potatoes and macaroni and cheese and stuff on that plate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but the thing is, in this age of corona, would you really want to share somebody's plate? Come on, man. He switched, baby. I was like, he was eating off the plate. I'm like, dude, you know we're in a pandemic right now.
Craft services don't be messing around, man. So I'm pretty sure there's any and everything you could possibly think of to eat back there. I mean, I'm pretty sure they got like shrimp cocktail. I'm pretty sure they got like 15 different kinds of cheese. I'm sure they got, I'm pretty sure they got like, you know, all the drinks and sodas and energy drinks you could possibly have. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, you can probably find anything you want out there, Gatorin.
I was wondering, I'm just sitting there.
We need to
with ask, the food that was.
We need to ask Ricochet and Mustafa Ali. They definitely know.
I mean, we can find out. What's in the catering business to keep y'all back there?
We are reminded of Akira Tozawa's untimely demise. R-Truth is playing chess with Little Jimmy. He says that he should go challenge Drew McIntyre for his WWE title. A ninja hands Truth a letter. It reads, R-Truth, if you were reading this, I was eaten by a shark. The ninja hands R-Truth the briefcase. The briefcase has Akira's back belt enclosed. It is offered up to R-Truth, but sneaking nearby is Akira Tozawa, who rose up R-Truth. He gets the 1-2-3, and he is your new 24/7 champion. Until the other ninja knocks out Akira with the briefcase, he rose up Akira for the 1-2-3. It's revealed to be Drew Gulak, and he says he is always ready. But that's when R-Truth rolls up Drew Gulak for the 1-2-3, and R-Truth is your 44th time 24/7 champion.
So there's statistics here. R-Truth is the longest, has the most reigns, championship reigns out of anyone in the company of all time.
Yeah, you think? Sasha can't defend the belt one time. This mud done lost it 40 times and got it back.
Yep.
Just amazing. As Chris Jericho once told Ric Flair in WCW, he's a 16-time champion, but a 17-time loser. Our man Buddy Murphy, he's on his phone when Seth Rollins comes in to give him a hug, but Buddy Murphy doesn't seem so giving of his affection. Seth says, tonight is beautiful. It's Raw. It's the night the Mysterio family is on the King's Court and can't wait to see what they have to say. He tells Murphy to lighten up. Seth wonders why Murphy is dressed in his wrestling gear. He says he needs to dress up in the suit that Seth got him. Murphy leaves, but he leaves his phone behind. So Seth, as a good friend, picks it up, puts it in his pocket.
So either he knew, either he kept his phone unlocked, or Seth knew his passcode to get into his phone. Just to read the continue on.
I mean, he could be one of these people who don't believe in locking your phone. Just be out here, you know.
Living life on the edge.
You know, just out here, you know. Need access to your phone quick. You ain't got time to be punching in no codes or verifying your thumbprint or all that. I just need to get access to my ish. So swiping, here it is. Jerry Lawler is in the ring to welcome us to the King's Court. He brings up the familiar woes of the Mysterio family. Ray says Seth has been running his mouth, trying to upset his family. His family means the world to him. Dom and Aaliyah, they have been his whole life since the day they were born. It takes a truly evil and sinful human to fabricate the lies that Seth has. Dominic says that this has gone on way too long and has gone way too far. He says the next time he sees Seth, he's going to put an end to this. Aaliyah comes down. She says she's still upset about what happened last week. She is 19, and as far as Murphy goes, he came up to her and sat next to her. She didn't go looking for him. She doesn't know what to think. What she does know, is that whoever surrounds themselves with Seth really needs to reevaluate their life choices. She says Seth is a bad influence and he is a fraud. So then Seth appears on the Titantron. He calls the words harsh. He says he knows he might be the last person they want to see. He gets it. He says the truth is that one of them isn't being 100% honest with the entire family. He says the truth is that Aaliyah might not be telling the truth in regards to how she feels about Murphy. He says, why would we believe him? Well, the thing is, you don't have to believe his words, believe Murphy's. So we get a screenshot of a DM thread between Buddy Murphy and Aaliyah. Aaliyah tells her dad that Murphy is not like Seth, then walks out of the ring and runs up the ramp. Of course, the Mysterio family chases after her. In comes Murphy towards Seth. He's pissed that Seth has exposed his text messages in the back. Seth says that the truth must not be important in their relationship. Murphy grabs Seth by the suit, and that's when Dominic Guerrero flies in to attack Buddy Murphy. Murphy tries to fight back, but the wrestling agents come out to break them apart.
Oh, boy. I told you. I told you this was coming from where I've read, and this is playing out exactly how I thought it would be.
It's going to be a very slippery slope on how they navigate this.
Oh, they are. And people in the fans are really speaking out about this because they're like, he's 32, she's 19. So they are already speaking out about this. So there's a lot of them that are not happy about this.
Yeah, apparently Alexa Bliss used to date Buddy Murphy. And apparently
she tweeted
out, I guess, some type of like tweet that she thought was going to be like in support of Buddy. I guess, you know, being in the spot.
She was like, go ahead, girl, shoot your shot. And I don't blame you. Shoot your shot.
And
the next thing you know, they went ham.
Yeah, her Twitter feed got flame broiled. So, people aren't really too enthused to see this storyline play out. We return to Natty and Lana coming to the ring. Natty says they need to be handed the tag team titles. Lana says they deserve them because they are celebrities and they have millions of followers. Adam Pearce comes out to assure them that that's not going to happen, but he can offer them an opportunity by giving them a match tonight against the newest members of Raw Women's Division. Out comes Mandy Rose. And she's got a tag team partner in the form of Dana Brooke. Dana's plastic surgery must have gotten a lot better because she doesn't look as Miss Piggy-ish as she did the last time I saw her on SmackDown. I guess Sonya Deville smacked that joint in the order.
You know.
Lana and Natalya versus Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. Natty in the ring. Dana hits her with a clothesline. We get a shove from Lana to Mandy. Mandy ducks under a kick. She hits her with a running knee to the face. Gets the cover for the 1-2-3. Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose, victorious on their debut voyage as a tag team on Monday Night Raw. Not feeling Mandy Rose having a tag team partner again after she just came out of this thing with Sonya Deville, after they built all this equity on YouTube and talking smack and about her breaking out and trying to focus on being a singles competitor and becoming a, you know, women's champion, and then they move her to Raw and put her right back to basically the situation she was at. And it's not a fair trade. We lost the Iconics to get Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. Really?
Okay. I thought about that. That's
what y'all want to do.
You mean to tell me you broke up Peyton and Billy Kay and you giving us Mandy and Dana Brooke?
Yeah, they got like zero chemistry except for, you know, they're like fitness people. But other than that, you know, they ain't got no natural chemistry together. I just don't get it.
Me either.
We're reminded of Aleister Black's attack on Kevin Owens. He thought that good men don't let bad things happen, but there it is. Owens thrives in a system where he can manipulate the viewers. Has Owens spoken to his son about his betrayal? He says it doesn't matter how many people forget and forgive Owens for all he's done, because Aleister Black will not forget. Backstage, we head to a poker game between the punted and the privileged. I mean, the legend.
The punted and the privileged.
HBK is on his way out of the game, and then in come the Street Profits to chop it up for a minute. Nothing really happened here. They just toasted to the Red Cups, and, you know, Dawkins just did his normal, hey, fam, but, you know, he usually does. So, but just a chance for the Street Profits to rub shoulders with the legends. So that's always a cool deal there. Kevin Owens.
Woke up some game.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin Owens.
Wait, before we go. Just think about it. Think about who's back there in that poker game that he can soak up game from. The Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins can soak up game from. You got Flair. You got HBK. You got Christian back there. And then probably Big Show can probably throw in a tip or two or something like that. But you got some folks back there who can give you some game. that they can soak up. And y'all inside, y'all want Montez Ford to be the star that they do off in the stratosphere and everything. He got to soak up that game as MVP tried to get, you know, folks to do with the Hurt Business.
I'm pretty sure if HBK could get Montez Ford in a private moment amongst each other, he'd tell him, hey, look here, dude, that other dude is weighing you down. You need to figure out some kind of way to get him off of your ankles. You know, you could set up a segment and send him through a barbershop window. Work for me.
Damn. Oh, it did, bro. It did. He said, we could do that. good times.
Kevin Owens versus Aleister Black. Black gets in the face of the referee. The ref warns him what can happen if he doesn't listen. Huge right by Owens. Black lands some strikes. Black reels. He cocks back to hit Kevin Owens, but he accidentally hits the ref without knowing it, and the referee disqualifies Aleister Black for making contact with an official. Aleister Black, of course, is pissed. He yells at the ref, saying that he didn't touch the ref, then accusing him of standing too close. The ref calls it a DQ officially, and then Owens stuns Aleister Black out of nowhere.
So, let's talk about the one thing you didn't mention at the beginning of talking about this match.
Okay.
Aleister Black has new music.
Oh, I had forgotten because it was so awful. It's nothing memorable.
He has new sounds.
Yeah, it's not nearly as, it has a new entrance. It's not nearly as cool as the old song or the old entrance. So
right. That was a great entrance right there.
They need to get, since he's back in the fold and it looks like he, you know, is going to be there for quite a while now, they really need your man Josiah Williams to help him with his music, because everybody who's gotten new music in the last 2 months, that shit is so trash. There's nobody that's got good music that's new right now. Maybe the Hurt Business. The Hurt Business song is pretty cool. But other than that, everybody else's music is terrible. Backstage, speaking of the Hurt Business, they're walking the hallways. Ali comes out of the locker room of the Hurt Business. He says he got lost. MVP punks Ali, saying he didn't get lost, but he's about to get his ass whooped. He says they're about to attack, but thankfully, Apollo Crews and Ricochet happen to be nearby. So they start a metaphor by saying that this isn't over, which leads to MVP offering a meeting in their office, and Lashley to continue by saying their appointment has been booked.
Yep.
Go ahead. R-Truth versus Drew Gulak versus Akira Tozawa, triple threat for the 24/7 championship. Drew locks in the Gulak. Akira goes to the top rope. Truth rolls out of the Gulak, and Akira hits a senton onto Drew. We get a kick from R-Truth. Drew sends Akira into the mat face first, then hits an AA to Drew onto Akira. We get the cover from R-Truth, and he defends the 24/7 championship.
R-Truth, man, he defends his title. And even when he loses it, he goes back to get it.
Charlie is here to interview Mandy and Dana. Mandy says that Dana has always been there for her, and she's an incredible athlete, so she had no doubts. Dana says Mandy is such an inspiration. They know the Riot Squad is next in line, but they will be watching. Whoever wins that match, they're coming for those titles. So they have been put on notice.
You know, one thing I can say about this segment, Charlie was looking very, very, very good.
How much longer are they going to have Charlie? Because, she knows she's been popping up on First Take a lot this summer.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing about, I meant to bring this up weeks ago. So Renee, the formerly known as Renee Young, she has a year, non-compete caught. Yeah, she has that going on with her. So, year, I mean, huh? a whole year.
Damn.
A whole year. So I think she can do the shows like she, I mean, that's for like, if she can do shows like, if she do things like ESPN or like other stations like that, that's fine. She can't do nothing with AEW. I think it's like wrestling for another wrestling company. That's for the whole, it's like a whole year. So Charlie had a spot up in she was doing stuff with ESPN. So she's been around. She's been like, you know, dipping her toe in other ventures and everything. So you never know. I don't know if she's like talent, like kind of like, or she's like considered an employee, because Renee Young was a talent, but then she became an employee. That's why she was able to leave as soon as she was and everything. You know, she's not held under the whole contract thing. So Charlie might be, I mean, if you know, her stock keep rising, you know, Charlie be out the door.
Yeah, like last week I was watching, yeah, last Friday I was watching First Take, and I'm like, to Charlie?
She's moderating?
Yeah, it's like, when did she start doing First Take? And then I happened to look at her Twitter page, and it's like, oh, she's got that listed in her bio, so okay.
Yeah, she's been doing stuff with ESPN, so. Yeah,
so this is a regular
baby girl
type of thing for her. Good for her. Get that money.
Yeah, baby girl. Hey, get that bag. We'll follow you wherever you go.
Next up, Murphy versus Dominic Mysterio. Dominic pulls up the apron and he sees a kendo stick. The ref hits the count of eight as Murphy begins to stir in the ring. Dom hops on the apron, and that's when Aaliyah heads to the ring to tell Dom to put the kendo stick down. Dominic tells her to leave. Get out of here. I'm trying to handle my business. That's when Murphy enters the ring. Murphy rolls Dominic up, and the ref pins him 1-2-3. So Murphy gets the win via distraction from Aaliyah. Ray's daughter tries to stop Dominic as he yells, saying that he is doing this to protect his family and protect their legacy. He then says Dad was right. She is naive. And that's when Aaliyah takes umbrage and slaps Dominic across the face before leaving.
She was trying to explain that he's not like Seth. And cross that line.
Man, he didn't want to hear none of that from
he didn't
from earlier when he jumped on Murphy unopposed. You know, he just came through the curtain and was just like, ah.
Telling you.
MVP, he's in the middle of the ring with his homies. He says, this is an official announcement from the Hurt Business. MVP defines Insanity and says that something is wrong with Apollo. He says they have sent Cedric to Hurt Business boot camp so he doesn't make any more dumb mistakes like losing to Apollo Crews last week. Ali, Ricochet, and Apollo come out for the match, but before it starts, Ali sends Shelton off the rope, off the apron, and Ricochet flies in with a dropkick. The Hurt Business goes on the attack until the lights flicker. Shelton, MVP, and Lashley enter the ring and go back to back to back. And Retribution's logo shows up on all the screens. But we never get a sighting of Retribution. Mustafa Ali, Ricochet, and Apollo Crews versus The Hurt Business. Ricochet's on the apron. He runs and cannonballs himself onto Shelton on the outside. In the ring, Ali rolls MVP up. He gets shoved. Ali flies off with a tornado DDT. MVP goes down hard. Ali then heads to the top rope. He hits his signature 450 splash and he pins MVP to get the win from Mustafa Ali, Ricochet, and Apollo Crews.
Now, is MVP on the boot camp?
I don't know if the upper management gets sent to the boot camp. Sir, I think that's strictly for the underlings of the group. I'm really glad that they figured out a way to explain what happened to Cedric, even if it's
right,
you know, not the truth in any shape, form, or fashion. But, you know, at least they acknowledged that he wasn't there, and they gave a decent enough reason to why that he wasn't there.
Yes.
We head backstage, and it looks like Ric Flair is the chip leader. Flair says he's got a royal flush, and he begins to do the Flair strut. We get another Bianca Belair vignette. She's basically eliminating people in 100-yard dashes, hurdles, and all types of stuff. Very Mr. Perfect-esque to these promos, to these vignettes. You can tell that our man Bruce Pritchard is all the way in on these with Bianca Belair.
Yes.
We get a Retribution video package complete with glitches. I missed a part because Drew had some words for Adam Pearce a little bit earlier about somebody to face Drew McIntyre. Dolph did, excuse me. And so Adam Pearce was like, okay, I'll listen to what you got to say.
He said, as long as it's not true.
So Dolph's music hits, he comes out. Drew McIntyre is like, this dude, really? That's when we hear something we haven't heard in quite a while. Glorious. And out comes Bobby Roode. So it's Bobby Roode versus Drew McIntyre, taking us back to NXT TakeOver days. We get a Future Shot DDT for a pin. Ziggler's on the apron. We get a big boot to Dolph. We get the Glorious DDT and a cover for a two count. Bobby Roode yells for Drew to stand up. Bobby Roode grabs Drew. He goes for another Glorious DDT, but Drew shoves him off, and he hits a Tilt-A-Whirl slam. Drew hits the ropes. He hits Bobby with a Claymore, and he gets the pin, 1-2-3, to retain the Universal Championship. Bobby Roode back. How you feeling?
I'm cool with him back. He's been gone for a minute. So it's good to have him back. Good to have him back in the fold.
Yeah. Raw Underground definitely missed. Definitely a big hole in the show after, you know, it's been on there for a month or so. So it was definitely like, no Raw Underground, no mentioned. So big void there. It's been a while since we had to run through like a straight 3 hours of just, you know, all WWE with no kind of thing to kind of break it up in the middle there. I enjoyed the main event. I thought Bobby Roode looked good. Road was looking good. The song was banging as always. Put up a pretty good effort. Came up just short. I don't know if they played up on the history during the broadcast, but I know that there is a promo that Bobby Roode cut after the show where he definitely acknowledges their match that they had at NXT when Drew beat Bobby Roode for the title. So that was a lot of fun to hear, you know, Bobby Roode remember, you know, some prior stuff that happened. So, this was it's an okay Monday Night Raw. You can't complain.
Rewind it back.
Okay.
And let's talk about what happened after the Drew match.
Oh, yeah. I haven't got there yet.
Oh, okay. You said it was a good Monday Night Raw. I was like, wait a minute, you're not done yet.
Yeah, I forgot. So backstage, that janitor that MVP threw the water bottle at.
Hilarious.
pushing his cart down the aisle very slowly. He then stops, he grabs a chair from his cart, and he walks over towards the Legends Lounge. It's Randy Orton, and he has night vision goggles. Orton turns the lights off in the Legends Lounge, and then he proceeds to wear them out, of course, off camera with that chair. Orton turns the lights back on. We see HBK laid out like a dead man. Big Show stirring in the corner. Christian and Ric Flair are also stretched out. The refs and some agents come running, although no one can really discern why. Orton, now with his hood on, points towards the door to let them know where all the trouble is brewing, as he is just a janitor cleaning the halls, making his way through the arena.
Going to his next assignment.
So does that make him the cleaner now?
Ooh. Damn. God damn, Kenny Omega. You got 24 hours to respond.
Randy Orton with the dastardly of deeds.
He went in there and turned off the lights. And he just, all you heard was, you know how like when they went on cartoons where they would show them going inside, that they would close the door and he would just tear all the just the beating be going down, all the crashing and everything going down, and he turned on the lights and everybody just, wait a minute, HBK was kind of, everybody laid out on the floor, he laid across two chairs. I'm like, what are you doing, sir?
He got a bad back.
Yeah, he does, but he must have took an ass whooping in that room, because somebody in the thing was like, Randy Orton just murdered four people. I was like, what? And I said, oh, man, Randy went and did that.
Yeah, Randy Orton was very ruthless, very aggressive, but very smart and conniving as well.
And the fact that he put his hood back on and pointed towards the room and then went there and walked like he ain't, like, you know, on his own business. I was like, man, I'm telling you, this is some hell shit right here.
Yeah, it's definitely Randy Orton taking it up another notch on healing. So he, again, true to his word, he said there's a price to pay for crossing the Legend Killer. And those four have paid another price. So we will see what transpires next week after they all come back from recovery and concussion protocol. And Drew is going to have to fight for all their honor once again.
Yep.
Anything else you'd like to add, sir, before we turn it over to you for your shout-outs and thank yous?
You talking about overall on Monday Night Raw, or just in general?
Just in general, whatever you want. Monday Night Raw.
Oh,
anything else? This is the WrestleCast. This isn't particularly Raw. Oh, okay. So.
Definitely. Oh, I watched Night 6 of the G1 earlier today.
Whoa! No spoilers. I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, I was just saying I enjoyed the matches. I wasn't spoiling anything.
That was Night 5, not Night 6. They had a couple of days off, thankfully. So
wait a minute, hold up.
We reviewed nights 1 through 4, then oh yeah, you're right, it was night 6. Because night,
I'm gonna say, hold up, don't talk.
Because night 5 was the night that Kota Ibushi and Ishii tore it down.
Yes.
Tore it down. If you haven't seen that match, I would suggest you try to go find it through alternative means, or if you have access to New Japan World and have not been keeping up with the G1 as closely as you should, check out Night 5. Check out the third match, Kota Ibushi versus Tomohiro Ishii.
Check out that match.
certified banger. And then to boot, the end was had just as much intrigue and drama to it too.
Yeah,
I really love
that. Right. Listen, I was laughing at that, like that whole ending. That whole ending. I was like, are they really just doing it? I said, they really like not like each other or something like that, because they was still.
Yeah, Ishii is laid out. He's got the young boy checking on him. I think he might have been mad because Kota Ibushi like kicked him in the face, it looked like, on one point. And then he dropped him squat on his head and neck on one of those suplex brainbuster things. So it just might have been Ishii just trying to, I don't know, trying to maybe get some get back or something. But yeah, he's laying on the mat and he's still trying to like punch at Kota Ibushi while they're both,
yes, you know, they get iced down and everything. They still swing at each other.
Yeah, it was amazing. That match was fantastic.
No, but basically, I was watching Night 6, but I was just saying I wasn't done watching it. I still had, I think, a couple more matches to go. But right. I was just saying, so far what I saw, you know, I was enjoying what I was seeing so far. Definitely. I'll hear you and Anwar talk about it when y'all record again. But definitely, this was because I was looking. I said, "Oh, night six." That was at work. I work. I'm overnight, and I said, I was like, "I ain't gonna watch it." I said, "Dom, like, don't go try to watch it now. Just watch it. Wait till it come up." And then I saw it, and I was like, "All right." So I was watching it and thoroughly pleased.
Yeah, man, the G1 doesn't disappoint. I mean, Okada right now is a little disappointing.
That's what everyone is talking about. Another podcast I listened to. Yeah, they was just saying how this whole money clip thing is not working for him, and they need the Rainmaker back.
Yeah, he is definitely trying to get over his version of the Cobra Clutch, his submission. He's calling the money clip, and yeah, it's had diminishing returns so far. So, you know, maybe we'll get the Rainmaker back with the Rainmaker clothesline and everything like that. But I think that if you had to, you know, talk to anybody who's been keeping up with this day in and day out, they would say, surprisingly, Okada has been the weakest link in his block.
He has.
Even Yujiro, people have given him like tons of favorable reviews so far. And that is definitely the rarest of rarest things to happen.
Yeah. So like I said, I was watching it today, so I wasn't more spoiling. I was just giving it a watch. Definitely waiting to see what's going to happen on Dynamite this week. Got the go home show for NXT for Takeover on Sunday. That should be a good show. And then you got SmackDown.
Depends on who's healthy.
Well, that's true. Can you see on last week they did the whole tag team scramble for who gets title shot mm-hmm. or whatnot. They did that whole scramble thing. So, okay, so let me ask you this: do you think Kyle O'Reilly has? I mean, we know he's not going to. I know he's not going to beat Finn, but what do you view this matchup as being? How would you preview this matchup?
I think it's going to be a showcase for Kyle O'Reilly. I think that Kyle O'Reilly probably gets to show what Kyle O'Reilly can do, but comes up just short against Finn. It may also trigger some dominoes into the Undisputed Era, into something happening amongst them. Even though, you know, it appears to be all love, or it appears to be like we got two different versions of the Undisputed Era right now. We got Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish still healing it up, and then we got O'Reilly and Adam Cole kind of baby facing it up. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that a lot of people who have not really been paying attention over the last, I got introduced to Kyle O'Reilly like 5 years ago. So anybody who's hasn't been paying attention over the last 5 years, they're going to come out of this match going, damn, I didn't know he was that good.
You talking about like in his ROH days?
ROH. Yeah. I first saw them, at Wrestle Kingdom. It was, it was like a junior tag team, tornado match. It was like them, the Young Bucks, Rocky Romero, and God, what was the Russian dude that was his partner? He was in WWE for a second. Oh, I can't think of his name now. But it was like a triple threat, or there might have been one more team in there. Might have been a Time Splitters. And they just had a big old like four-way tornado match. And yeah, that thing was off the lower rip.
Yeah, I was heard they said him and QC, they had a match.
Yeah, they did. Kyle O'Reilly is very technical, very MMA ground submission based wrestler, and it's gonna kind of be very similar, I think, to the match between Finn and Timothy Thatcher. You know, where, you know, he's going to try to ground Finn and grab holds and manipulate him and twist him up and try to get him to submit. And Finn Balor is going to have to try to find a way not to get, you know, caught in something. I think that's the way that match is going to play out. But yeah, I'm very excited to see Kyle O'Reilly get this singles opportunity, step out on his own. He's been a great tag team wrestler for a very, very, very long time. Like he said on the promo I used for the parting promo, he's the only three-time NXT tag team champion in the history of the company. So he's pretty much conquered and done everything he can there. So it's definitely time for him to branch out, look for a singles career, and that's no better place to start than at the top, taking on Finn Balor.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Anything else you'd like to see on that? You're looking forward to on that card? You got Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano for the United States title.
Gargano either got the shit or get off the pot, because I mean, as much as I enjoy a lot of his matches, he is really never way for him to go. So I understand they had this whole thing about being in NXT, but y'all got to do something. Seriously.
I think it's getting to that point for a lot of people right now in NXT where I don't think with the pandemic and them probably not being able to use the performance center as much as they'd like, I just don't think they have anybody that they feel is ready to take those places if they do move these people. Now, with that being said, the draft could come next week and all of them could get drafted. And
that's how I wonder if they're going to draft anybody from NXT in this draft.
I know if they do get drafted, they better hope and pray to go to SmackDown. They don't want to go to Raw. Because you get caught on Raw, you're going to get caught in the shuffle, and you're going to just be thrown by the wayside. At least if you go to SmackDown, there's a little bit less clutter in the mid-card there. And if you show out by wrestling, you'll get noticed a lot more on SmackDown than you will on Raw.
Right.
All right, Mr. Mo to the underscore, I'm going to turn it over to you for your shout-outs and thank yous.
All right, so thanks again. Once again, shout-out to you, Don. Thanks again for another week talking wrestling as we always do. Shout-out to the fellas over at The Push. Can't wait for this episode to come out. We touched on some topics that were near and dear to us in pro wrest. Gonna have a couple more episodes like that coming up, so please be on the lookout for that.
Were these takes ghost pepper hot, or were they like Texas Pete hot?
Texas Pete hot. I mean, it's probably some stuff that you probably were expected to say, you know, but. You know, it's some things we got off our chest about certain aspects of the business and everything.
Okay. So definitely be looking out for that episode of The Push in the next day or two once it is uploaded and ready to listen here on the CSPN.
Yeah. Shout out Miss Simi, J to the Max, Anwar. Shout out to the homie Word Exclaim. Shout out to Miss Jupiter Julep. Shout out what sleep though. Miss is it Helena?
Helisa? Madam Lizette.
Helisa. Madam Lizette. Yes, shout out to her. We had a nice just going back and forth over the weekend. Cammy D, shout out to her. Shout out to everybody who be in the live tweets with us. New faces, old faces come back. Dawn Victor, good to see you back. He did the crying Jordan face on Jey Uso at the end of the night. You know what I'm saying? Oh man. So like we had quite a few folks come back. Miss Mel Mindy? Yeah, she was back in the mix with us and everything. Everybody, it's like Roman and Jay brought the faces back in the hashtags. Shout out Classic Mel because you get shout outs. Dee Dee Jonay, miss you on these shows. Greg, hope all is well with you. Sam, I ain't see you around. Normally I see you around. You be giving me your takes and everything too. And I ain't see you around either, but hope everything is well. Just shout out to everybody who's watching wrestling, you know, enjoying, trying to enjoy life. You know, we getting into the fall, getting a little bit colder. So, you know, bundled up. bundle up and mask up too.
Definitely the second one. Definitely
yes.
The second one. Stay masked up, y'all. I'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese for joining me once again for this episode of the WrestleCast. I'd like to give a shout out to everybody who joined us, like Mo said, in the hashtag Cast of Champions this past Sunday, shared their commentary with color. Definitely was a lot of fun. Definitely was some hot takes going on. A lot of people, like you said, came out to see Roman. The new look, Roman. Let's talk about that for a second before, yeah, before we get off the air here.
Well, WrestleBays loved it. The WrestleBays was loving it. They was, you know, even I even had a friend of my one of the young ladies that I follow on Twitter. I don't even think she watches wrestling, but I had mentioned that Roman Reigns' first match at NXT was against CJ Parker, but we all know him now as Juice Robinson. So my friend, she said, "Oh, there's that name Roman Reigns again. Time for me to go back to objectifying." Oh, wow. So listen, it's breaking. So ladies was finding out who he was because he took the shirt off and everything. And I said, "Oh boy, this is gonna be you know, crazy. They're gonna see him without that shirt. They're gonna want him."
West Sleep though has been calling for this for 2.5 years. Lose the vest. Listen. Come out, do something different, change your gear. So she's almost there. He's changed everything but the music.
Yeah. As soon as you said West Sleep, some of her screenshot, and I was like, "Nah, she good." She was like, "Give me that screenshot."
So hopefully somebody accommodated her. I couldn't find one.
I'm sure she probably saw it. You know, all she did was look on Twitter, and she'd seen him shirtless, all in the ring and everything. You know, with the
big tribal tattoo.
Yeah, trap. Yeah. So you know, she. I'm sure she saw it. But the WrestleBays was loving it. The ring probably put some new eyes.
Yeah.
As well.
So shout out to all the WrestleBays, all the members of the GLOW. Shout out to the guys over at the Push Podcast as well. Looking forward to that episode. Give a shout out to Classic, Miss Didi Jonet, Miss J to the Max, Mr. Anwar Starwin, and Miss Simi, my co-host from NXT Cast, SmackDown Matters, and Cast Strong Style. So definitely appreciate them. We'll be talking to them very, very soon in the near future. Give a shout out to Classic, Greg, Sam. Like I said, October, we're coming up on our 6th year of doing the WrestleCast. Can't believe it. It's going by so fast.
6 years.
Yeah, so I'm going to try.
It's been a ride.
Try to reach out and see if we can have
get them back on the show.
A blowout celebration of just one night, you know, be like an ECW, you know, one night only. You know, see if we can get, at least if everybody doesn't sit in, they can at least come through and share some commentary.
It'll be great to have the original cast on for episode, because that was, you know, when Classic brought the show back. And It was you, Greg, and Sam, and then next thing you know, DD joined, and then it was just one of those weekly shows I was listening to, you know, every week. And then next thing you know, I was like, you know what, I gotta get up on the show, because this I'm saying that like a lot of our mutual friends was guest spotting on the show, and I was like, hold up, I need to get up on this show too.
I haven't really done that a lot since we brought the individual shows up, just kind of reaching out and making sure that we have guests. But I may start trying to do that on the go home shows.
That'd be cool. It'd be cool to have some voices. Yeah,
it's just some guests for them. So yeah, be on the lookout. If you want to be on the show, just, you know, hit me up on Twitter, hit the WrestleCast up on Twitter, and we'll definitely make it happen, because it's been a while, and we're always, you know, loving for people to come join the show in person and share commentary with
color. Hey, that's what I did. I made it known. I said I want to be on the show, and then next thing you know, I got to be on the show, and now I done made multiple appearances on the show. Don hit me up. Y'all used to hit me up like, "Hey, good to come on the show." I'm like, "Yo, let's do it."
Yeah. So
especially that one WrestleMania episode was hilarious. I was over my mother's house, and all of a sudden, he was like, yo, can you jump on to do this show real quick? I was like, let me go out in the hallway real quick. I'm like, where you going there? I said, I'm going to be doing this. I'm doing something real quick talking about wrestling. She was like, you always talk about that wrestling. I said, I know, but I'm going to be out in the hallway if you need me. And did the show out to the hallway. I was in the hallway just talking to y'all and everything. So it was cool, man. It's been, as I say, it's been a great ride. It's been, you know, great. Like I said, I'm always thankful that, you know, this space was created for us because we all can come and talk wrestling and we do the live tweets and everything. And it's just a great space for us just to all come together and just talk wrestling. And I appreciate that because now it got me, it has me meeting, you know, new people, you know, listening to other parts, you know, getting their perspective on things, you know. So it's been, you know, it's just kind of like the avenue to open up to go elsewhere, just listen to wrestling and everything. And, you know, thank you, you know, Sam, Greg, DD Classic for just launching this out there for all of us to be a fan of. You know, y'all deserve your props for this.
We definitely appreciate it. So yeah, definitely looking forward to October. You know, the anniversary show, it's always been a big deal. I'm trying to make it another big deal. So I'll be reaching out to some various folks, some luminaries. We'll see if we can get them on the show, at least for, even if they don't come on the show, maybe cut a promo or something. We'll figure something out to make it very special. But again, Mo, thanks to you for joining me this week. Thanks to all the Wrestle Bays, all the members of the GLOW. We definitely appreciate y'all, like I said before. Check us out on the Dark Mat, support the show by going to the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Over there, you can find me and Miss Simi talking about all things AEW Dynamite. So please listen to Miss Simi's commentary with color on AEW. Definitely a lot of fun, those AEW reviews. So for my co-host, Mr. Mo to the _ Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 288 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
First off, how does it feel to have your cohort, your friend, back with you?
It's great. I would have his back going into any title match, any fight with anyone, taking it to the champ like he did. I would have loved to have been a part of it. Clearly, I wasn't allowed to be because the champ says it's an open challenge. But here's the loophole where I get to pick my opponents, and it couldn't be anybody who's ever touched me before. So I appreciate that. I called him. I called his bluff. I caught him. I called Bob. I called Robert Roode, the glorious one, to come back. Two of us could do what we do better than anybody else. We do what we want when we want. And this man right here is a quarter of a second away from becoming WWE champion on his first damn night back.
I don't know if you know this or not. There's a little bit of history between Drew McIntyre and I. It dates back to NXT, where I was the NXT champion. August 2017, I was the champion, I was riding high, I was beating everybody, held that title for 8 months. And Drew McIntyre walks back into the WWE, shows back up in WWE, in NXT, and then challenges me for my title. And on that night, he was lucky. He was damn lucky to survive, let alone win that title. But he beat me, and I've never forgotten about that. And for the last 7 months, I have sat at home on my couch and I had to watch week after week Drew McIntyre, that cocky, 7-foot-tall son of a, walk out to that ring every week, kick people in the head, walk around like he's the cock of the block. I was sick of it. Dolph was sick of it. Dolph Ziggler, one of the best damn performers this company has ever seen. Been here for a decade. Has to go prove himself every week in Raw Underground. Has to prove himself. This man shouldn't have to prove himself to anybody. I shouldn't have to prove myself to anybody. I shouldn't have to sit at home at any time in my career and watch any of this. It was about damn time that I got that phone call. It was about damn time that I was allowed back in through these doors. Tonight I had an opportunity. And I was that damn close. I've been in this business for over 23 years. 23 years I've been in this business. And tonight will not be my last opportunity. I guarantee you that. Next week, we'll be back here. and I guarantee you it'll be a different result.